bless each and every one of you. We definitely are happy to see Mother Gloria continue to show her presence. Amen. Amen. We're definitely happy to have the Moors back and the Days back from their vacation. Thankful to have them. Turn to John, the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. And when you have it, can you say amen? Reading from the King James Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. To the readers, hearers, and doers of God's Word. John is one of the disciples that was in Jesus' inner circle. He was one of the three, Peter, James, and John. John, if you notice, John doesn't give an account of the Christmas story. You don't read about Joseph, you don't read about Mary, you don't read about Bethlehem, no manger, no stable, no shepherds, no wise men, no stars, no baby. But this is not saying that the story is less of a story. What John wanted everybody to know, that the Word became flesh. That's why we need to understand, that's the reason why we celebrate Christmas, is because the Word became flesh. Not because of the physical features of the stable and the manger and the stars and this young couple and shepherds and wise men. They all participated in the physical historical features of the birth of Christ, but the real story that John wanted everybody to understand, that the Word became flesh. The scripture says Jesus is God in the flesh. The Word existed before time and creation. God loved us so much, he wants to spend forever with us. That's a blessing. But only one thing that stops that, that is sin. That stops us from being with God forever. Now, I know in the, I believe it's the NIV version, you may have the Cain. That's in the 14th verse. But we need to understand that the Word, Jesus, dwelt among us. He dwelt among us to teach us and to show us how to live. The Word became flesh. That is, God was united with a human nature in one person and was truly man and truly God and lived in history as Jesus. The Word became now does not mean that he ceased to be God. In becoming man, he did not forsake his divine nature. He didn't forsake that. Rather, what this means is that he became man by taking on the human nature in addition to his divine nature. So basically, this was not a, this was more of an addition, not a subtraction. So we need to understand that the Son of God didn't have to pick between being God and being man. He was both God and man at the same time. The eternal Word became human. He was 100% God and 100% man, without ceasing to be God. So the key is to ask, what was he before he became? So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Understand that. I could actually preach on that prosperity teaching right there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He was divinely rich and became humanly poor. He was in the form of God. Then he took on the form of a servant. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." He was God. He became a little lower than the angels because he became man. Jesus becoming was not ceasing to be what he had previously been. Again, he was taking on, not taking off. No flesh isn't, we need to understand that no flesh isn't merely a reference to the human body, but the entirety of what makes up humanity, which is body, mind, emotion, and will. So basically, Jesus took up the whole entire nature of man by being in the flesh. So he was all man in the flesh, okay? So, which means Jesus had a human body, he had emotions, he had a mind, and he had a will. And this did not compromise his deity at all. When the Word became flesh, he became truly human. some people have a hard time understanding that because our minds are not like God's. We have a hard time, even if somebody tells you something here on earth now, you have a hard time believing it until you see it for yourself. God loves us so much that he took the blame for our sin. How many of y'all take the blame for something? Y'all have siblings when you grow up. You know, they did something. Did y'all ever take the blame and say, I'll take their whooping? Anybody did that? You know your brothers was out all night and snuck in and you know they did something at school that they shouldn't have done? Did any of you all step in and say, I'll take their punishment? That's what Jesus did for us. He stepped in and said, I'll take it. And here's the thing. We have to understand this, people. God doesn't change because the culture is changing. God hates sin. Amen? He hates sin. Period. Just because the culture is changing does not mean that God is changing. And this is why we cannot enter into heaven with sin on our hearts. We have to have something that took place to take the punishment for our sins. Someone had to step in, and that was Jesus. Jesus said, unless we repent, we perish. Perish means you go to hell. Some of you who have a hard time apologizing feel sorry for you, because unless you repent, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, here's the thing. God is not like man. He said it, that settles it, and that's the only way. So if you have a hard time apologizing for your actions or for the things that you've done, you're going to have a hard time repenting. And if that be the case, to hell you go. So, John, one of the 12 disciples, one of the three closest to Jesus, John basically was talking to a specific audience, and he was trying to basically prove to them that Jesus is God. And here's how he did it. John puts seven I am statements in the book of John, which proves that Jesus is God. Seven signs that that Jesus performed in his earthly ministry prove that Jesus is God by his works. You have to combine Jesus' word and his works together to understand who he is. John focused more on Jesus' private ministry. The other gospels focus more on his public ministry. This is why in the Gospel of John, you hear him talking about Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the disciples, Martha, Mary and Martha, and Peter. These are private conversations that John speaks about. He was in that inner circle. You're not going to find any parables in the book of John, okay? Because again, when Jesus, the other gospel writers was talking more about Jesus' public ministry, but John kind of honed in on more of the private things. So in the beginning, John talks about the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. When we hear the phrase in the beginning, it takes you all the way back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is where it takes you to. And in the book of Isaiah, I didn't give this scripture, I don't believe, but in Isaiah 55:11, God says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. You can see it as his word being sent out on a mission. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He was sent out on a mission. And God's word does not return until it has accomplished what it has set out to do. So when God spoke his word, he's talking to Jesus. When Jesus went out and he redeemed man. If you notice, when Jesus was on the cross, he said it was finished. When Jesus said it was finished, then he was able to return back to the Father. He couldn't go back to the Father until it was finished, because he was set out on a mission. Amen? So in examining the Trinity, typically, listen to this. The Father is the planner. The Son is the doer, and the Holy Spirit is the revealer. An example in the redemption, the Father planned our redemption. The Son accomplished it, and then the Holy Spirit has revealed it to us. So in creation, the Father planned creation. The Son actually created all things, and the Spirit revealed it. All of the Trinity was involved in the creation. And the New Testament attributes to the direct action of the creation to the Son, which saying that he created all things. So, the Word made all things. All things was made through him, and without him nothing was made. John is saying that the uncreated Word created all things. He is the creator. Now listen to this. In America, we all know about copyright. Am I right? If you never, you don't know about it, you've seen the word before, copyright. When you copyright something, you have to understand there is laws that protects the originator of it. That originator created it, so you can't go and start claiming it because it's a copyright. So that copyright protects the originator who actually created what you're trying to copy. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that God is the originator. He created us. We belong to him. Amen? Anybody else tries to claim that we belong to them, they're violating the copyright law. We belong to God. We are his. And we need to live our life for Jesus. He redeemed us. He paid a price for us. Not only that, he created us. So we belong to him. So seven times throughout the book of John, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. John is trying to prove to the people that Jesus is God. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. I am the door. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the gate. Y'all need to understand something. John is trying to tell the people that Jesus is God. He's saying that I am. So what is the most important thing here? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament, what did God say to Moses? He said, tell them that I am sent you. So what John was doing was putting Jesus on the same level when he was writing to the audience, putting Jesus on the same level as God, saying that he said that he is God. I am the good shepherd. He was saying I am. So basically what he was doing was saying that this is God in the flesh. Not only that, this is what got Jesus crucified, because he was saying that he was equal to God. So this is what caused all the ruckus. He's saying that I am the self-existing one. So John basically was talking to the people and telling them who Jesus is. Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, saying, I am. He was there before Abraham. He was there before Abraham. Not only did Jesus prove he was God by his word, Jesus also proved he was God by his works. So what did Jesus do by his works? Well, if you look at the fact that Jesus turned water into wine. When Jesus turned water into wine, this is basically what it did. It highlighted his power over every chemical process of nature. Now, only God can do something like this. So when he did that, it demonstrated his power over every chemical process there is. When you can take water and turn it into wine, right there on the spot, he's telling you he's God. Only God can do that. I am God over every chemical process there is. So when Jesus healed a noble man, Jesus basically spoke a word. When he healed the noble man's son, Jesus basically spoke a word. He didn't even have to be present or go in the man's home. All he had to do was just speak the word. By Jesus speaking a word, the man's son was healed. In that day, for someone to try and heal someone else, they had to be present. Amen? They had to be present. This was unheard of in the biblical times. When you go back to the Old Testament, even Elijah and Elijah had to be present to heal, but not Jesus. Jesus had absolute power and authority over sickness and could exercise that authority even over distance. So he was showing that he was God, even God over distance, because he didn't have to be there. So he had the power to heal from a distance. So Jesus demonstrated his power by speaking a word that this man's son would be healed. So it is with prayer. You don't need to be present to pray for people. Even though it's great that if you can be there with them, that is a wonderful thing. But because you're not doing the healing, it is God that is doing the healing. Jesus that's doing the healing. All you got to do is activate your prayer life and call on the name of Jesus. Jesus will heal that person. He's showing you that he has power over distance. So it also is with salvation. Jesus can heal from a distance, and Jesus can also save from a distance. Salvation is open to anyone with faith in Christ, just like the Gentiles in the New Testament. We were once far from God, but Jesus came the distance to save us. He left heaven and came to earth as a child, and he walked this planet. He lived a perfect life and then went the distance to the cross to die for our sins. Jesus went the distance to save us. We must go the distance also to get others saved. Amen? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach his word. That's what we are to do, is go the distance. Jesus heals a man that was lame for 38 years. Watch this. This highlights the power Jesus has over time. Even though your situation has been stuck for 38 years, Jesus is not limited by time. What Jesus did was change his situation, even though he has been stuck in this situation for 38 years. What Jesus was basically doing is saying, time has no effect on me. I don't care how long you've been dealing with this. I don't care what you've been going through. The fact that Jesus was able to heal this man who was dealing with this for 38 years lets you know that he is God in the flesh. Sometimes you have doctors to say that you only have this amount of time. You have doctors that will say, well, you've been dealing with this for 38 years. You're just going to have to live with it. And we're going to help you live with this. But Jesus didn't say this to the man. Jesus just healed this man. Despite the fact that he's been dealing with it for 38 years, Jesus said, I don't care about time. I'm outside of it. It has no effect on me. And you are healed. He proved that he was God. In the flesh, the fact that he's able to heal this man who was dealing with the situation for 38 years proves that he's God. Only God can do that. When Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, this demonstrated Jesus' power to create things out of nothing. The fact that Jesus spoke and blessed the bread and they got more than what they could have, this lets you know that he can supply all of your needs. This lets you know it doesn't matter what the numbers may be, that God is able to supply everybody who shows up and who's in need. He spoke a word. And it was able to take the lunch and feed 5,000 people. And they had leftovers. Also, that proved that Jesus is God. Listen to this. We live in a time where we can access our phones and we can find out what the weather's going to be like in the next few minutes. We can find out what the weather's going to be like tomorrow by using our phones. And so we have that luxury of knowing what the weather's going to be like so we can prepare for it. But we have Jesus here who was in a situation. Not only does Jesus know what the weather's going to be like, but he could also speak to the weather. Amen. He spoke to the weather, told it to peace, be still. That's God. Now, we can know when the weather is coming, but how many of you can speak to it? I mean, you may be aware of it, but can you speak to it? He says, peace, be still. Wouldn't it be a blessing when the hurricane is getting ready to hit shore that somebody can stand there and say, peace, be still, and it stays out there on the sea? That's the God that we serve. Imagine what I'm talking about. He is God in the flesh. When he walked on the water, this demonstrated his power over nature. Nature says it's impossible to walk on water, and it defies gravity. Jesus says, this may be impossible for man, but I am God. So I don't have to be subject to the things that you're subject to. He's saying that I can walk on water because I'm God. God in the flesh. Jesus healed a man who was born blind. This demonstrated Jesus' power over sickness. In other words, what Jesus was saying, there is no defect. There is no disease, there is no sickness that is too great for me to heal. God said, I don't care what you were born with. I don't care what you have captured or what is in your body right now. He's saying that I can heal you right now. That's right on the spot. Not only that, Jesus also would prove that he was God. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. This proves the power that he had over death. No human being can raise or resurrect someone from the dead and give them new life. Amen? Give them new life. If Jesus can do all these things, he's not just a man. He's not just some prophet. He's not just some good teacher. He is God in the flesh. Not only that, he raised his own body from the grave. Anybody here that's bad enough to do that, He raised his old body. But here's the thing, though. He is spirit. He is not body. He is spirit. God, you can't kill God because he's spirit. He has been and will always will be. There is none like him. So when he went down in the grave, that body died, but not God. So he was able to get that body up. Amen. It's like me having on this suit. It was hanging in my closet, and it wasn't moving. But it started moving when I stepped into it, and I'm able to walk around in it. But I had to resurrect the suit from the closet. How did I do it? I had to step into the suit. So it was with Jesus. The body was nothing. But in order for him to get it up, he had to step into it. Get it up. Raise it from the dead. That's what he did. The body is nothing without the spirit that's in it. Jesus. You know, many times people have a hard time understanding that Jesus is the only way. You want to know why? Because there is so many ways we can get to places. There are so many ways we can do things. And our society has taught us that there is so many ways you can do something, so it's hard for us to rationalize that Jesus is the only way. But I'm sorry, he says he is the way. He's the only way. I don't care if it's hard for you to understand, but you have to understand that he is the way and there is no other way. Many of these televangelists are saying there's more than one way to get to God. That's a lie. You're going to find yourself in hell running behind these televangelists. Search the scripture for yourself that you may rightly divide the word of truth. He is the only way. There is no other way. And if it is, I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't go that way because you're going to find yourself in hell. Have y'all ever had somebody try to tell you how to get somewhere, but you just have it in your mind that you're going to go your way, you're going to do what you want to do, and you find yourself in some trouble? Well, I had somebody that did that. I was trying to tell him the best way to get somewhere. He didn't want to listen to me, so I just said, find your own way. He ended up in a place that he didn't want to be. And I'm going to tell you something. He was in Washington Park. I told him, you don't want to be there. But that's where he was. He didn't want to listen. What I'm trying to tell you, folks ain't going to listen to you. You can tell them all day long, Jesus is the only way. They're going to say, oh, that's just, I just can't just believe that he's the only way. He said it in his word. He is the way, the only way. No man gets to the Father but through him. It's the only way you getting through. Try to go to the White House. The only way you're going to get in there is through the Secret Service. There is no other way. Amen? There is no other way. Maybe I can talk to so-and-so. No. When you get done, you got to go through Secret Service. That is the only way. How is it that we can believe that, but we can't believe that Jesus is the only way? Jesus is the only way. Here's what sets Jesus apart from the other religious leader. His power. No other religious leader did what Jesus did. You ain't never heard about other religious leaders walking on water, calming the storm, raising the dead, healing the blind. Jesus did all these miracles that no other religious leader has ever done. Jesus even raised his own body from the grave. All those other religious leaders are still in the grave waiting on Jesus to call them up. Y'all better talk back to me. They still in the grave waiting on somebody to call them up. And the only one that can do that is Jesus. Jesus is the only one that called his own body up from the grave. He even prophesied his own resurrection. Anybody bad enough to do that? He prophesied his own resurrection. 3 days later, Jesus showed up, showed himself to 500 some people.
That's a boy. Y'all know y'all. We, you know, you can talk trash all you want to. But when Jesus talk it, I'm going to tell you, he bags it up. He said, destroy this body. I tell you what, 3 days, I'm getting up out of here. Do what you want to do. 3 days, deuces, I'm getting up, and you ain't going to stop me. Boy, I'm going to tell you, if y'all don't see that, his prophecies, no other religious leader fulfilled prophecy before they were even born. Jesus spoke about the exact dates of his death, how he would die. Jesus fulfilled these prophecies with perfect accuracy. What's the odds of one person, one man, fulfilling even 8 prophecies written about him in the lifetime or the power to fulfill them all? Jesus spoke his word, it happened. The Bible says the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. You can look at that in Micah chapter 5. And then it also says that he would be born of a virgin. Y'all already know what time it is with that. Come on now, let's be real. Then it said that he will suffer a gruesome death. Come on now, get with me. Y'all know what I'm talking about here. Look at this. Then it says that the Messiah's death, talks about it in Daniel chapter 9. Look at these things. Talks about how he will be pierced in the side. This thing was prophesied before he even got here. It was prophesied before he got here. And he fulfilled them all with pinpoint accuracy. Y'all ever used a GPS? You know, that GPS, it's okay. It's not as accurate as you think it would be. I mean, there's times where I've been down, like in Carbondale area, and y'all know it's very rural down there in those areas, and you see more cows than you see people just about. And you go down there, and I'm like, okay, I'm in the middle of nowhere. This ain't where, hold up now. And I have to think for myself, okay, you got me this far. Let me figure out which house this is or which place is this. This is what I'm trying to tell you. We can create things. We can do things. But it ain't going to be pinpoint accurate. We can predict the weather. How many times y'all got mad at the weather people? This one guy, he threw a fit. He started getting up. He had a rage on air talking about somewhere. Well, I hope I can bring y'all some warmer weather. Y'all getting an attitude with me. I don't know if y'all ever saw that clip. But this guy got mad at his coworkers because they wanted to be sunny. And he can't do that. All he can do is just predict the weather. But the man got an attitude. He said, I hope that's good enough for you. I don't know what you want me to do over here. You know, maybe it's going to be, I don't know, maybe the weekend will be better for you. I don't know. You guys always getting down on me. I mean, this is a real thing. Just Google it. You'll see it. But my point is, the man could not predict anything. He couldn't tell them the weather. He couldn't tell them anything. All he could do was really say, well, it's blowing from Denver over here. Follow what I'm saying. That's about all he can say. We may get some precipitation. I don't know. If the man is wrong, y'all be like, I ain't listen to that newscast no more. Man, I had my umbrella and we ain't getting no precipitation. This is what we do to folks. But Jesus was pinpoint accurate on everything that was prophesied. Who can do that? What religious leader can do that? His preaching. No other religious leader taught the way he taught. See, Jesus gave a solution for our sins. Other religious leaders would say, well, you got to do something. You got to do something or obey to earn God's favor. Y'all know something? There's going to be a lot of good people in hell. I mean, I'm just being real with you. But there's going to be a lot of good people in hell because people think that just being good, but you don't have Christ in your life. You have not accepted him as your Savior. There's going to be a lot of good people in hell. Maybe they'll help y'all out down there, but I don't know. But I'm just saying, the good people, y'all got to, it's more than just being good. How do you know that what you've done is good enough? You understand what I'm saying? How do you know that what you've done is good enough? We don't know that. This is why Jesus gave the solution for sin. accept me. In other words, accept me as your personal attorney, and I will help you out on Judgment Day. I will have all the charges that is brought up against you dropped, because you're not going to be able to do enough to get these charges dropped. But if you accept me as your personal Savior, I have a connection with the Father, and I can talk to the Father, and I can say, I paid for this sin. Amen? I mean, because I'm going to tell you, there's a long list for me. If I stand before the throne, I'm be like, yeah, I can't deny none of that. I mean, even if I wanted to, I couldn't deny it. But you know what? I'm be like, well, you know, Jesus is going to be my spokesperson, because I can't deny any of that. And Jesus is going to say, all charges are dropped against this person. But all other religious leaders, we need to understand that what they tell you to do, if they're not telling you to accept Jesus as your Savior, whatever they're telling you to do, it ain't going to work. I'm just going to tell you this right now. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. Jesus, his perfection, no other religious leader lived the way he lived. Some of our religious leaders live very sinful lives. Even the Muslims will tell you that Muhammad was a man just like us. But some religious leaders even made prophecy that never came to pass. Y'all ever seen that? They prophesied some things and never came to pass. Spoke things. Put themselves out there. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. The hardest thing, and I'm going to say this, it's not really being, the hardest thing is being a prophet. Because, man, people will hold you to what you say. Even though it's not what you're saying, it's what God is saying. But, man, I mean, a pastor, we have what the word, the Bible says, and we're going to preach that. But a prophet has to, in other words, they have to preach what, they have to, basically, God gives them a word to give to you. And they have to speak that. And it's an uncomfortable word. And it's a word that a lot of times people don't want to hear. You know, folks don't want to hear nothing bad about themselves. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Folks don't want to hear all that. If a prophet said, you know, you're a thief, you're a whoa. Come on now. Let's go talk about this. Let's go in private. You understand what I'm saying? You don't want that out there. But if they say you're going to be blessed and highly favored, oh, yeah, tell me more. Huh? When is this blessed and highly favored going to take place? But see, we want that to be publicized. But when they say you a thief, they're like, oh, whoa, thief. Yeah, you know it. You steal from people. You wait till they pray and close their eyes, and then you go in their purses. You a thief. See, we don't want that prophesied over us in church. Y'all understand what I'm saying? A prophet is going to give things like that. Folks don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. But we have to understand that Jesus, in his perfection, Jesus claimed to be equal with God, which leads to his crucifixion. And Jesus' followers said he committed no sin. And no deceit was found in him. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and 22, the very same people, Jesus' enemies, that crucified him, Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Isn't that something? See, here's the thing. Pilate said, this is an innocent man here. I find no fault. But the people said, crucify him, still wanting him dead. See, here's the thing. If any of you say, I don't care who it is, say there is another way, this is what you're saying. You're saying that the Bible is not true. Then what you're saying on top of that, you're saying that God, Jesus, is a liar. And I'm going to tell you something. That is not something that I would want to say. Because he is not a lie.
over and over again, he said he is the truth. And the reason why, let me tell you this to you. The reason why they couldn't keep Jesus in the ground, because you can't bury the truth. The truth would always keep coming up. Anytime, have y'all ever had told a story, but the truth kept coming, and you kept trying to hide that truth? Get on down there. But the truth kept coming up, because you can't bury something that is true. That truth will continue to resurrect itself, because it will speak. Jesus was the truth. He couldn't be buried, because you can't bury the truth. The truth will continue to resurrect. It will continue to show forth itself. Look at all the things that he's done. His works, his ministry, everything. His truth spoke for him. So here it is, Jesus, his perfection. We need to understand that there is none like him. Not one. No one. There is no other way. There is no other way we can be saved. There is nothing that you can do other than just say, Lord, I surrender myself to thee. Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. Lord, I give my life. That is the best gift you can give to the Lord, is your soul. We are in a day and time that we don't know when we will check out of here. I mean, we can lay down and tonight can be our last night here on earth. And man, that's what happened to my uncle. He laid down and didn't get back up. That was his last day on earth when he was talking to my brother. And he didn't know that he was going to lay down and not get up that night. But here, that morning. But here's the thing. What he said to my brother, I want to be right with God. That's important, is that we make sure that before we check out of here, you make sure that you got your business in order, that you got everything that needs to be done, whatever needs to be tied, you better tie it. Whatever needs to be pulled up, you better pull it up. Whatever needs to be fixed, you better fix it up. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're dealing with. You better get it right now. Because when you get on the other side, there is no way that you can get yourself out of there. It's not like going to the Holiday Inn where you got to be out by noon. That ain't going to work for you. Because once you check into hell, that is a permanent stay for you. There is room down there, but that's not some place I want to go. I want to go to my Father's house, where he said there is plenty room. There is one God, one mediator between God and men. That is Jesus Christ. The whole gospel boils down to this truth. Because our sins have separated us from God, we need a mediator to bring us back to God. The sin has wedged a gap in between us and God. God cannot tolerate sin. Y'all have to understand, can any of y'all tolerate a stinky smell? I mean, I'm talking about some. Y'all know, leave broccoli sitting out for a few days. I mean, let it be kicking. I mean, I'm talking about my coworkers. She had some broccoli on Friday, and she left it in her trash over the weekend. We came in on Monday, everything was fine, right? We ain't smelled nothing until she opened up that door. When she opened up that door, and you talking about a stink, a smell, I said, if you don't shut that door, I don't care if you in there with it. Shut it. I don't want to smell that. It was stinking. She gonna have nerve to set the trash on the outside of the door. No, this ain't gonna, and my workstation was right. No, this ain't gonna work. This thing needs to go to the dumper immediately. In other words, it was stinking. It was smelling.
God feels the same way and thinks the same about sin. When he sees it, it stinks, it smells. God cannot tolerate it. He does not like it. He doesn't want to deal with that stinky sin. This is why we can't enter into heaven with our sinful nature. Flesh and blood can't go into heaven. This is a sinful thing that we're in. That's why I can't enter into heaven. We got to be changed. That's why we got to be changed. He said, when you to come up in there, you got to change. Y'all know when you go to some people's house, you got to take your shoes off. They say, hold on. Take them shoes off. And you pray to God that their feet don't stink. Amen. Let's just be real. Amen. Amen. Some people may have you to put a little something over. I mean, I'm just saying. But my point is, God says that we got to be changed. This corruptible's got to take off. Got to put on new. God came in the flesh. He's not a baby. Amen? That's why John gets to the case. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He said, let's get right down to it. Let's get right into it. He was. He became. He didn't take away. He added to what he was already. Came to say, you know, that's a blessing. You leave your heavenly throne to come down here. You know, that's love. When you go the distance like that, that's love. You got great love for someone when you go that distance to give up. Y'all know when you're sitting comfortable and watching TV and somebody call you to do something? I'm hitting home. I know I am. Folks don't even want to say amen no more. You know when you're sitting comfortable at home, somebody call you and they need you to help them with something? And they be like, I don't know. Think about this. Jesus left heaven to come down. Come down to save a dying world. He didn't say, God, you the planner. I don't want to go down there and do that. I know that he said, is there be any other way? He did say that. He said, is there any other way that I have to, that I can do this? No, this is the way we talked about. This is what was planned. This is what has to be done. This has to be fulfilled in order to redeem the people. In other words, there had to be some shedding of blood. So our good works ain't good enough. I don't care what you do. I don't care. I don't care what you do. It ain't good enough. There's going to be a lot of good people in hell. Because those good people didn't accept Jesus. All it takes is you to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my personal Savior. That's all God requires of us. Why do we make things so hard? You know, it's hard for people to do that. Y'all know that? People just won't do that. People won't say they go down to the, you're going to go down the hill with it too. God has said, just say you're sorry. Bible said we all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So if we all have sinned, then we all are guilty. Amen. I said in Bible study, I said, why do God allow trick questions? Innocent people to be killed. You know the trick question is? There is no innocent people. There is no innocent people. I know people say this in the world. They say innocent. How can God allow this innocent person? Innocent in what way? There is no innocent people. The only innocent person was Jesus. Even Pilate said, I find no fault. We all are guilty.
Amen.